It's the new year, and one of the things that happens in the new year is that you're obligated to kind of take stock and do evaluations of your life and the things that you're involved in. So the Nightlife leadership team, behind the scenes, we have been involved with Nightlife evaluation. We've been very systematic. We've been very intelligent and creative. And one of the things that we did at the beginning of this year, some of us got together, and we thought, well, what are we going to do this year at Nightlife? And then somebody said, well, what's the craziest thing we could do? And that's kind of how we evaluate Nightlife. There is no beer involved. So what's the craziest thing we could do? And we thought, well, that's a really great question. That's probably something to talk about in the community at large. So we decided the theme of this service would be, what's the craziest thing that we could do? What's the craziest thing that we could do in our lives to follow Jesus? Maybe we just get up one day and decide that, I don't know, we're going to go be missionaries in Bangladesh. Yes. Because, you know... And one of the poorest places on earth, you know, it's like, I don't know, 95% Islamic, and, you know, and what if we had no money in our pocket, but we just decided to just go? How crazy would that be? How crazy would that be, Robert?
That would be great.
Yeah. And so in that vein, we just so happened tonight to have visiting with us the Puyu family. I know a lot of you have met them already. They are really close and long-standing missions partners of ours. In Bangladesh. They're members of this church. They went out 12 years ago, and a good number of us have gone to work with them in Bangladesh from time to time. So we're going to invite them to come up to speak. Robert, in particular, is going to come up to speak. Why don't you come on up, Robert, for your sharing. Give him some aloha. So Robert's just going to share for a few minutes. He's going to talk for 10 or 15 minutes, but when he gets going, it might be 30 or 40. That's just the way it is. I have a short sermonette planned for later. Whether or not we get to it, my friend, it's all in your hands.
Thank you. Wow, thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here. It's about a month that we've been here, and we love it. We love the time that we're able to spend with some of you and able to meet different ones at First Price as well. So thank you. I mean, it's been really a blessing to be here. Well, let me start by saying, Veronica, congratulations. I think there was one piece they missed. It's one of the conditions is that, will you be willing to come to Bangladesh? And then if it was yes, then you're confirmed elders of First Press. Okay, it was a joke. Okay. Well, it's really wonderful. Naomi and I... And Rachel, at that time, we went to Bangladesh about 12 years ago and been working in Bangladesh. And just want to introduce or say something about Bangladesh before we go on. On that map, you see it's, the lighter part is Bangladesh right in the center, surrounded by India. And then on the northern part is Bhutan. And then and pretty much on the left and right, north is just India all around. But we are not part of India. We are independent country. We are proud to be Bangladesh, and so we are not in any way part of India. So Burma is just at the bottom as well, too. If we can move to the next one. Just a little facts about Bangladesh. We are 144 square kilometer. I'm not sure about miles, but it is the same size, not Montana, but the same size as New York. And so inside that, we have about 142 million people just inside of New York. So we are people, just people. The capital city is about 12 million people. That was about 5 years ago, so it might have increased to, because we keep on having children. It's a problem that we have. So it might be more. The religion is about 90% Muslim, and it's Muslim country, but it's one of the places where it's so open, and it's a secular sort of Muslim where you pretty much can say you're a Christian and it's okay in Bangladesh. And it's really wonderful to be in that country and be part of that. We, as a family, feel that Bangladesh is our home, and it's great to be part of that nation in what God is doing. And also with that is only 0.5% is Christian. But in the midst of that, God is really moving in that country. Thank you so much, so much for your prayers over the years and nightlife as well, for you guys to come and would be great. If all of you come, that would be the best. This is what we have. It's just people. And so that's about 5 minutes, 5 minutes walk from our apartment. And what you see is just people. And so if you are so, I mean, there's no people here. And it's so, I mean, when we first arrived, there was no people in Hawaii. But in Bangladesh, we are people. And so people everywhere. And we are so proud that God has called us to Bangladesh. And as a church and as nightlife, we pray that you would join us in that nation. This is the next slideshow. It's a little bit of picture of what the street looks like. And it's the only traffic rule that we have is don't reverse. Don't reverse. Just keep going forward. And I'm looking forward to drive Pastor Jim and his wife when they come to Bangladesh. I did not say if, when they come to Bangladesh, that just to drive forward. And it's fun because cars going this way, cars going that way. We just have fun, just like nightlife, you know. We have a lot of fun. And so please join us. That's the city that we live, a little picture of that. And maybe if you can invite us again, we can show more slideshow of Bangladesh. How did we get to Bangladesh? How did we hear the call of God? I know your theme today is, what is the craziest thing that you could do with your life? And for us, and for me, my journey began in Papua New Guinea. And when I was in Papua New Guinea, and missionaries first came to my village in the 1960s. That's not a long time ago. 1960s. So they came to my village, and my father was the first generation Christian, he really did not go to church, but he said he was a Christian. First generation Christian, so during that time, I mean, I thought missionaries were not something that Papua New Guineans could do. It was not something that we could do. And it's mostly for people that have money, people who are rich, and comes from the Western country. But grew up like that. And when I was in high school, that was the first time that I received a call, in some way supernaturally. And in that dream or vision, someone appeared to me and said, "You will be a missionary one day," and in that I cannot see his face, and it was just reflected on my face, and cannot see him at all. It was just light, and so having received that vision, I got so excited, and I was not a Christian. I was just a nominal Christian, and so I thought maybe to be a priest would be the best thing. So I went, and because I was from the Catholic background, so I went to my priest and said, "I want to be a missionary." And so he was an American Catholic priest, and he looked at me and said, "My son, be a priest." And I said, "Well, I'm willing to be a priest." And so, when I was in high school, I made a commitment to be a missionary, priest. In that story, another thought came to me and said, "Robert, you must get baptized." And that I cannot put off that thought. It kept on coming back to my mind over and over again. And I said, "You must get baptized. And you must get baptized in a church near the airport." And it was so specific. And the church near the airport, I hate them. I do not like what they do. They go out on the streets and distribute tracts. I thought they were not a church. They were a cult group. And here this thought that I could not resist keep on coming back over and over again in my mind. Remember, our theme tonight is, what is the craziest thing you could do with your life? And that was, to me, crazy. because I cannot sleep in that whole night. And it was like around 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, okay, I'm going to go to the church nearby the airport and get baptized there. And remember, I've never been to the church before in my life. And on that Sunday, I was supposed to do the first reading in the Catholic Church. And so all those were happening in that few minutes, in that few seconds. And said, okay, I will make it. I made the decision. And right after that, I slept like a rock. Well, rock doesn't sleep, but I slept very peacefully. And so it was a peaceful sleep. And then the next morning, I woke up, went to this church near the airport. And I told someone else, one of my friends, to read the first reading in the Catholic Church. Went to the church and I saw a man sitting in the front. And I looked at him and said, are you the priest? And he said, son, I'm not the priest, but I'm a pastor. And I said, well, I want to get baptized right now. And he looked at me and he said, I knew you will come. And he said, I knew you will come. And he was more excited than me. And he told his assistant pastor, and he said, this is the boy that we got in the vision. And it was just a confirmation of God just arranging everything for us. And what is the craziest thing you can do with your life? What is the craziest thing? I think to me, the craziest thing that we could do is obey God. Obey God, and that's the craziest thing that we could do. Simply obey God, not about what the other person is saying, but just obey God. So with that, I made that commitment to get baptized. And in the church, the pastor said, okay, who wants to get baptized with him? And so I went up in the front, and then I look around, I closed my eyes. On the left and right were my two best friends who went and did the reading in the Catholic Church. They came after the reading and joined me. So three of us got baptized on that same day. And that was a miracle. That was just God's faithfulness. And with that, I went excited. I felt that the pastor knows, he is God's voice and he's a man of God. And so I went to him and said, Pastor, I want to be a missionary. I want to be a missionary, I said. And he looked at me again and said, son, missionary is only, excuse me, for only white men. And he said that to me. And I thought, man, you are dead wrong in my heart. Remember, as nightlife, respect your pastor. Honor your pastor. And so I thought it was not right, but I kept that in my heart, and said, Lord, you gave me a dream, you gave me a vision to be a missionary. It's gonna come about in your own time. And I asked him, why, Pastor? Why can I not be a missionary? And he said, you know, that's only for the West, who have money, who have resources. Only they can be a missionary. You cannot be. No Papua New Guineans has ever been a missionary. And so you cannot be. And so he pretty much poured cold water onto all the dreams and visions and whatever that was in my heart. Sometimes when we obey God, we think that everyone would be dancing up and down, you know. Everyone would be so excited and thinking that, go for it. Just like normal Americans. Americans are they love to hug and very, you know, it's good. But sometimes it's a hug that there's no warmness. There's no real feelings towards it, you know. And sometimes when we want to obey God, there would be times that no one would be so excited. Maybe even with your own salvation, that's the same thing. No one, I mean, even with salvation, even in obeying God in certain areas of our life, not necessarily being a missionary, but just in obedience, you know, that no one might be too excited, but simply the craziest thing that we can do is just obey God. Just obey God. And so that night, or that time, that day, made a commitment, I will obey God, regardless if the door is closed, God still is going to open a window. And so some years later, it's a long story, a couple of years later, a team came from Hong Kong and said, you can be a missionary. And if I could dance, I could have danced. But if you ask me to dance, I cannot dance. Even how much the Spirit of God moves, I still can't move this body, you know. It's so difficult. But so I could not dance at that time. But it was a music to my ears. And so during that time, I made a commitment and went to college. And during the college time, I could not forget the call of God in my life. And so I signed up to join YWAM. But the problem was there was a school fee. There was a school fee. And I did not, I mean, I knew I had to pay this school fee. I left college, and the school fee was so much. And in the college that I was going to training to be a teacher, was everything was provided. The government gave me good scholarship. The government provided for pretty much my airfare to go back and forth annually. Everything was provided. But I felt the call of God in my life. And so I flew back to my mom and said, Mom, I said, I want to be a missionary. And again, my mom looked at me and said, how can you be a missionary? And I said, I feel the call of God in my life. And she was so angry that I left the college. And because that was her future, that I would be the one that would be able to support the family, be able to provide for the family. And she was trusting in that so much. And when I went to her and said, I'm going to leave that, she was so angry. And in the midst of that, I said, Mom, I have one thing to ask you. And I did scratch my head. And said, I've got one thing to ask you. You know, that pig there, I want you to give it to me so that I can pay my school fee to be a missionary. And so that I can get that money, sell that pig, and then be a missionary. And my mom looked at me. In Papua New Guinea, pig is very important. Pig and human life values the same, no difference. We sleep with pig, we eat with pig, we walk with pig, we even breastfeed pig. You know, I mean, literally we do that. And so that's how close we are. And for me to ask for the pig from my mom was just something precious. And I said, Mom, when I want to get married, I will never come to you again. And so she was angry. She was screaming at the top of her voice. The louder she got, I knew that she would give in. Sometimes moms scream so loud that there's a softness in their heart. They was okay, just don't come back. And so that's what mom did. And so. So my mom gave me the pig, and I was trying to sell this pig. Again, our theme is, what is the craziest thing that you can do for God? She gave me that pig, and for 2 weeks, I was trying to sell that pig, and no one even looked at my pig. No one even asked, how much does it cost? And I was thinking, man, is the pig stinks, or is it me that no one wants to come closer to either one of us? You know, I mean, it was, no one wants to buy our pig, or buy the pig. So I decided to take the pig for a little walk, about 30 kilometers. And there is no road. There is no road to go. There's a road, but only you have to walk. You cannot drive there. So I took the pig. I tied the pig on the leg. And I pull it. And my pig and I, we took a walk for 30 kilometers. And I was hoping that no girls would look at me. I mean, that would be so embarrassing. And so we walked to the city to sell that pig. And I tried to sell that pig in the city. And no one asked for how much my pig cost. And no one even looked at my pig. And I thought I obeyed God. I thought I was doing the right thing. I was going to be a missionary. God spoke to me. You know, sometimes when we want to obey God, when difficulties comes, when hardships comes, we said, oh man, this is not as easy as I thought. You know, it was supposed to be so easy, but it never works out, you know. And it's not like that. In America, we have this microwave. I love microwave. You put it in there, and then you take it out. It's all ready in 5 minutes, and you eat it, you know. We kind of want, obeying God is like that, microwave obedience. You know, put it in there, it's ready, we go. But it does not work that way, unfortunately, for some of us. Yeah, and that was, for me, selling that pig was not like a microwave. So I decided to go for another 140 kilometers, a little bit more walk, to sell that pig to become a missionary. And so I asked that, fortunately there was a road. So I carried that pig up, put it on a truck, and we went for a little drive, about 140 kilometers, which is about 80 miles. And we went to another nearest city, the nearest town, the biggest city. And we went, and we, meaning the pig and I. And so we arrived there, and same situation. We tried to sell that pig. Oh, I tried to sell the pig, and no one looked at my pig. So for a week or two, the same situation happened. No one looked at my pig. Finally, I got so tired of it, I tied a pig on the wrist and tied around a tree and went for a little chat with my friends. When I came back, the pig was gone. It was all gone. And I thought, this is great. This is great. And so I look around for my pig, and there was no sign of my pig. The only person that I saw was an angry man. And that man came and said, you sell your pig or I kill your pig. And I said, what happened? And he said, your pig destroyed my garden. So the pig went for a little walk by itself and destroyed the pineapple garden, and totally destroyed the part of the pineapple garden. And that is a life support for that man. And so he was a good Christian man, a good friend. And I told him, please, please forgive me. I will sell this pig by tomorrow. And knowing that I don't know who's going to buy it tomorrow. And I made this promise to him. And that night I went and prayed and said, Lord, I'm willing to obey you, but please do not test me anymore. I had enough of it. I think I'm in the max part of it now. Please let me sell my pig tomorrow. And I said, please, Lord, help me to sell this pig. And the next morning, I put my pig in the truck, went to the nearest market to sell it. Just before I put the pig down from the truck, a man came to me and said, how much is your pig? And I said, oh my goodness, if I could dance, I could have danced right there. It was, that was the first time, the only person that asked that question, how much is your pig? And I told him how much it was. He took his pig, I took the money, and that was the journey to a missionary life. You know, it might not be easy in obeying God, not necessarily in being a missionary. Anything in life, anything in your walk with God, it might not be easy with your relationship. Financially, it might not be easy. You know, but you know what? The craziest thing you could do is just obey God. Just obey God, as crazy as it seems to be. Obey God in that. And I think that even when it doesn't make sense. And for us, and our life has been that. And another craziest thing you could do is join us in Bangladesh. Of course, I'm sure you knew that was coming. But join us in Bangladesh. That's one of the things that you could do. But the best is the best that we could do is just obey God. And that is what we have learned. And I pray that as nightlife and as nightlife and first prayers, that would be our journey, simply to obey God instead of the way. Sometimes we have so many questions. Why? If this come together, I'll do that. We kind of come into a bargaining table. You know, so we bargain with God and say, if this works out, I'll do this. It's not really that. Just obey God. Simple obedience. It might cost you something, but it's nothing comparing to the obedience Just to finish up with our story, and I think we took a long time. When we arrived in Bangladesh, no one welcomed us. No one welcomed us. But God was there to welcome us. We love that country. We are so blessed to be part of that country. We are so blessed that First Press is part of that nation. And we pray that as Nightlife and as First Press, that we would be able to be a blessing to the nations and just be crazy in obeying God when people say you are crazy. Thank you so much, guys. It's been great being with you.
Well, I'm certainly not going to preach after that. So I'd just like to share one verse. It's on your programs. It was the verse of the evening, and it's from Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. Melanie will try and put it up on the board. And it's a verse that describes how Jesus sent out his first disciples, his first followers, the first time he gave them mission and purpose in life. This is how he did it. Jesus went around teaching from village to village, it says, and calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two, giving them authority over evil spirits, which is cool. And these were his instructions. Take nothing for your journey except a staff, a walking stick. Don't take any bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but don't take an extra tunic. Don't take any extra clothes, no extra coat. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. In other words, find lodging along the way. Just sort of expect people to open their doors to you. Whenever, and if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. Just move on. So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And we've discussed this verse in Nightlife a lot, and this is something that I meditate on quite a bit. If this is a story about how Jesus sends out his first disciples, it probably has something to teach us. And what I notice is that Jesus sent them out in a very crazy way. It was kind of stupid. He says, yeah, you guys are going to go out. I'm going to give you some spiritual authority, but don't take any money. Don't take any food. Don't take any extra clothes. Have no place to stay. Just go and believe it will work out. And the way you're going to succeed is miracles. If you heal somebody, if you cast out some demons, then the townspeople will probably feed you. And if you don't manage to pull off any miracles, if you don't do the impossible, you'll probably starve. All right, go. Which was crazy, right? It's inexplicable. And one of the things, when I learn a lesson, I try to make a saying about it so that I can remember it. And one of the sayings I have is that an inexplicable life is an unmistakable life. An inexplicable life is an unmistakable life. If there is something inexplicable about the way you live, then it will be unmistakably God. And people will notice that. If you are inexplicably happy, if you're happy for no apparent reason, then people will scratch their heads and say, what's different? It will be unmistakably God. If you are inexplicably powerful in the way that you live, it will be unmistakably God. If you are inexplicably fruitful, if you're inexplicably daring about the way you live. I know some of the rest of Robert and Naomi's story. They went to Bangladesh. Rachel was 1 year old. They went with a one-year-old baby and a grand total of $125 in net worth. That's all they had in their pocket. They went to one of the poorest countries on earth. Inexplicable. It's worked out. They're having a great time, and they really love the country, and they're bearing fruit. inexplicably daring. If you're inexplicably loving, then it's unmistakably God. That's kind of how it works, and that's why it's important to be a little bit crazy when you follow Jesus. That's why it's an important element, and that's why at the start of every new year or so, you ask yourself, hey, what's the craziest thing I can do? It's not a worthless question from time to time. What inexplicable thing can I do? Is God in that? Is God in that? And then as a group, we ask ourselves, what's the craziest thing nightlife could do? What inexplicable thing is God going to do tonight? And we should come in here with that question. And every week it's going to be different, but every week I hope it's something, that God does something inexplicable for us as a group, or inexplicable for you individually. And it should be that way, in some sense. So let's have the worship band come up for a couple of songs. We'll skip the rest of the sermon, because Robert's was better. And we'll sing a couple songs and worship. And I just want to pray and invite the Lord to provide some vision for your year. Maybe it will be vision in the same way the Lord provided vision to Robert. Maybe you will have a vision of some blinding light sort of person that speaks to you and says, you're going to be a missionary. Maybe to Bangladesh, maybe not. I'm making no guarantees. Or maybe he'll say, you know, you really have to go invite your neighbor to this Saturday party. And who cares if they think you're a Jesus church freak? You know, who cares if they think you're crazy? You're going to do it. Because that's the start of every good story, doing something that's inexplicable and crazy. Amen? So, Lord, I pray that you just take the time to speak to us. I pray, again, that before we leave, we would all be changed at least a little bit. And I pray that you would make us an inexplicable people. I pray that you would make us a little bit crazy, a little bit free, a little bit unusual and otherworldly, and that in such a fashion, we would be unmistakably gods. In Jesus' name we pray.